Hi, it's Kristin from Salto. We are very happy to be pairing with the Co-working Assembly for this podcast episode. Salto opens the doors to thousands of co-working, co-living, and workplaces in the world. We believe community is the key, and by taking part in this podcast, you'll be able to connect more with like-minded people around the world and to help build the co-working and co-living community globally. Take a look at the link in the show notes to find out more, and we hope to meet you in person soon. Enjoy the episode.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alex Ahom, and we are back with the European Co-working Assembly podcast. Today, we're talking rural co-working, development goals, events, and much more. Now, I'm from a big city. London is huge. And I've moved to a much smaller city now, which is Hamburg in northern Germany, which has under 2 million people. But today, we're focusing on rural spaces, areas with less than 50,000 people. I'm joined by Jose, who runs the Rural Co-working Project, and I'm delighted to have you on the podcast, Jose. How are you? And can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Well, there's not too much to say about me. Basically, I'm a geek of co-working lately. I started with a co-working space in a small town in Slovenia. I think this is like 6 years ago.
Wow.
And against all the predictions, this co-working space is a success. And but I was not very satisfied with this stuff because we have around 10 members, and that didn't sound as an achievement, right?
Yeah.
And not only that, I could not get more partners, or I could not get engagement from the local government, the municipality, etc. So pretty tough. Everybody would think of this as a crazy person trying to do something and not knowing how to do it.
Yeah. So you mentioned it was a success. So what about the project? What about the business made you feel it was a success?
So it is an amazing success because it's one of the few co-working spaces that survived in these past 6 years.
Yeah.
Right? So basically, Aurora Co-working is today one of the oldest co-working spaces in Slovenia. Right. And so that's one way of defining that success.
Mm-hmm.
The other is that our members are a community.
Yeah.
Right. And the way we achieve that, I think, became very important to me. And actually, the Rural Co-working Project comes out of the effort of trying to give relevance to such a small project like my co-working space.
Yeah.
So I went to the ECA and I asked them, what can we do here? I think that I have something. So I have a model of a micro co-working space that is resilient and self-sufficient.
Right.
Right. And they said to me, why don't you start the European Rural Co-working Project? And okay, it started. And we have less than a year, around a year with this project. And it looks like it's starting to give some interesting perspectives and possibilities.
Amazing. So how did you get into rural co-working? Why the rural co-working and not, as I mentioned before, the co-working in that maybe people are more accustomed to in bigger cities?
Yes. So actually, I got in love with the idea of co-working when I went to Vienna and I was a member in the Impact Hub Vienna.
Yeah.
Okay. So my introduction to co-working happened in a bigger city. Right. I was born in Lima in Peru, and that's a huge city also. So I kind of feel like if I am a citizen of a big city, kind of, right?
Yeah.
But I live in a rural area, and I honestly couldn't see such a huge difference in terms of culture or infrastructure. Of course, in a big city, there are many more things to do, amazing restaurants, etc. But I never thought that there is a difference between the vibe of the people in one city than in one rural area.
Yeah.
Now, that confusion comes because I think that rural areas in Europe are like small cities in terms of infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
right? So you have good connection to internet, you have all the stores, you have good roads, et cetera, et cetera. Remember, I'm coming from Peru, so yeah. A rural area doesn't have anything of this, right? So, okay, I started my co-working space and I never thought that this is a rural co-working space because we don't have cows or anything like that.
Yeah.
Right? We're in a town. And actually, we like to think like we're kind of modern people.
Yeah.
So the rural word comes because the areas where we operate are rural areas, are considered rural areas by the countries. So this the region where I live is a rural region. But then I learned that any city, town, village with under 50,000 inhabitants is considered rural, right? Then we said that's the word. And actually, it made sense because when talking with agencies that support entrepreneurship and business in these kind of regions, mm-hmm. everybody understands the word rural, right? They talk about rural development.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's why that's the difference, right? So another thing that I can add here is that the way people operate here, so in a rural area, is very, very different than in a city. So making the distinction makes sense. A business model for a co-working space in a city is completely different than the one in a rural area. The members of a co-working space have completely different needs than the ones in a city.
And also maybe expectations as well. The expectations might be different.
Yeah, the expectations are completely different, right? So in a city, they would expect not only space for working, but also content, trainings, mm-hmm. accelerators, investment opportunities, etc. The pace is much faster. And in small rural areas, they want space and community.
Mm-hmm.
Right, all the rest they already manage it for themselves.
Yeah, exciting. So, and I think another important the term rural co-working is important because when you do speak to associations, when you do speak to people outside of our communities, our bubbles, our spaces, and you come with your card carrying kind of co-working owner or you're running or manager. Unfortunately, many of these people think of the huge multi-billion dollar spaces. And it's important, obviously, to distinguish ourselves away from that because we aren't that. We have our values that we hold dear. You've mentioned collaboration. You've mentioned community. These values are very important, especially to rural spaces and smaller spaces. So, yeah, it is important to mention that you're coming from a rural space, so they don't throw you in the same barrel as a WeWork or a Regus, of course, that aren't truly co-working. But yeah, it's important to be clear on what we represent.
So, yeah, it's absolutely, because something that we want to achieve is to spread the word about what co-working means,
mm-hmm.
right? So these big co-working spaces and networks that you mentioned kind of damage, in my opinion,
yeah.
The idea of what co-working can be, right? So as soon as we start presenting our initiatives as rural co-working, it starts making more sense. And amazingly, I'm starting to find more cooperation possible because of that. And so just imagine how many local governments, municipalities are looking to set up their own co-working spaces thinking on copying or imitating mm-hmm. the models that exist in bigger cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So they can make a lot of mistakes. The majority of co-working spaces in Slovenia that closed, from what I know, are initiatives that are connected with municipalities. And they wanted to be very much like those big co-working spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So as soon as they know that there is something like the rural co-working, they might think there are multiple ways of creating a co-working space. And that's the idea.
Yeah, sure. So what does the future hold for people and spaces outside of those major cities? What does the future look like for rural co-working?
I think it's an amazing future. I've talked with some authorities, some politicians. I've talked with a lot of independent professionals, and they are finding kind of a relief with the idea of reviving or revitalizing communities in rural areas. Mm-hmm. I was more surprised to see the local entrepreneurs to be actively involved from day one with projects like a small co-working space and taking ownership extremely fast. So it is not only what we hear that now everyone from the cities are thinking to go back to the village.
Yeah.
I think that is more important than the ones that already decided to stay in their villages or the small towns found a place where they can belong. There's a specific problem that rural co-working spaces solve, and it's loneliness.
Right.
And I know that saying that doesn't sell anything. It sounds very romantic. But basically, that's the truth. So it looks like in small towns, we are a bunch of persons working from home, surrounded by people, but feeling lonely and misunderstood, right? Mm. But when we go to co-working spaces and we find people that can understand our problems or where we are or our challenges and our desires, it becomes something different, right? It's like a support group. Even I could venture to say kind of a family.
Yeah.
I think that's the future. So there is the opportunity of creating or building communities that are functional, not only groups of people that live in the same place.
Yeah. Well, we spend so much time at work or doing our work. It's important that we invest in the relationships there and we feel good about what we do, where we do it, how we do it. For so long, people have just been doing their work because they have to, they have bills to pay. And sometimes that's at the expense of our mental health. So yeah, I think the future is also a place where that our work doesn't give us a breakdown, yeah, and we actually can get some sense of belonging and purpose from what we're doing and maybe where and how we're doing it. So yeah, it's thank you for that giving us a snapshot of the future. But again, going back to the past, I think that the future of work is very different to the past, and I hope so as well. You said that you were from Peru and you're now in Slovenia. How different are the two areas? Are there any things that the two regions, the two different continents, can learn from each other?
Oh yes. So in general, so I have experience living in a city, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that. In general, we are very similar. So superficially, the culture is basically the same. So we all go to school. We all want to go to the university and get a good job. We all believe that we have to have a family, a house, and get money to pay the bills, try to be a good citizen, et cetera, et cetera. It's basically the same guidelines. The difference is that in Peru, I see the people in the city more anxious about achieving success. And success is kind of the number one goal. Mm-hmm. And here in Europe, although achieving success is an important goal for almost everybody, there is more care for quality of life.
Right.
So in Peru, I see quality of life is a result of your success.
Yeah.
Right. Here is no, I'm going to walk even if it is raining.
Yeah.
Right. So I would say that at least from my perception in Europe, we value quality of life number one. Mm-hmm. And, but in parallel to that goes this idea of achieving success or economical safety or something like this.
Mm. So following from that, when you're talking about economic safety and social mobility, things like that, it's all tied into development, which I think you're also very passionate about. So we were talking before about developmental goals and ways that our lives can improve through these projects. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I think that if I ask you, how an ideal day looks like for you, maybe you can venture to and try to answer it.
An ideal day. An ideal day, did you say, or my typical?
Yes. What's your ideal day?
Tough question. I don't know. I mean, I have three kids, so spending time with them, being able to spend time with them in the morning before they have to go to school, before I have to go to work or do work, because that usually that's not the case. So being able to eat properly and not being, you know, walking, running down the street, trying to catch the bus while I'm eating my breakfast. I don't know, it's very hypothetical, but kind of have a fulfilling and meaningful tasks at work, and you know, speaking to people, doing interesting projects, and then I guess being able to again tie in my personal life a bit better, rather than it just being a kind of an afterthought after I finish my work. But so an ideal day would be being able to spend time with friends and family, enjoying my work, feeling a sense of purpose and belonging and acceptance from the people around me in my work sphere, and then having time for the family as well before I sleep.
Right. So that's exactly what everybody would answer.
Okay. Right.
So, and it's nothing so complicated. We are not asking for something magical here, right?
Mm.
So if you see the an ideal day for every human being is very simple, right? If you meet your neighbor and your neighbor invites you for a cake and a coffee, mm-hmm. That sounds like an ideal moment, right?
Yeah.
So we're not really talking about Lambos and expensive stuff and yachts and this. It's just enjoying a bit more, right?
Yeah.
Now, the problem is that even if it is so simple, why are we complicating our life so much? And why the whole system of work and the economy and the international relationships become so complicated? And I think that we don't have an understanding of what we are really looking for. We are more concerned of achieving a future that it looks like it never comes. So whenever we talk about improving the quality of life of people and increasing equality, et cetera, we get into a religious conversation of beliefs and doctrines and what I know and why what you don't know, and we get into a deep complicated situation.
Yeah.
So there are some alternatives that are coming lately, frameworks, I would say, that facilitate the communication, right? And one of these frameworks is called the Sustainable Development Goals. Mm-hmm. And the objective of them is to identify which are the areas of problem that exist in our world, and which are the common problems that we are sharing as a civilization, right? And therefore, and they divide, so the framework divides all this problematic in 17 areas. Therefore, creating a communication system, you know, so we can say if we want to have a positive impact in one of them or in multiple of them, etc. So focuses the conversation in a productive way instead of philosophizing in how are we going to deal with complexity. And, you know, if I connect the topic of the SDGs with what we were talking before, that is co-working, you'll find out that the problems that are presented by the SDGs are problems that rural co-working projects, rural co-working spaces, and co-workings of many different kinds are trying to solve. So I don't know if I'm going too deep into this, but I would love to present the idea of the Sustainable Development Goals or SDGs as a framework to talk about the achievements of rural of co-working spaces in general, and also to communicate with local authorities, potential partners, so that everybody understands what we are talking about, mm-hmm. right? In order to facilitate good results and bring some kind of a simplicity to the complexity. So that at the end, we will find out that what we really want to do in this planet, everywhere, is to have the time to go to see the kids going to the school, to return home, the office or the co-working space, and enjoy of what you are doing, have meaningful relationships, right? And then return home, meet again with the family, and have the opportunity of enjoying of that. Very simple.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, I guess in some ways these complicated scenarios that we live every day, they do have at least there is a pathway to solving these complexities, and we have to set ourselves on the right path. We have to start walking in that right direction. So I guess we can save the world and build a better future through these projects. And it starts with our co-working values, which two of them are collaboration and community. So it's good for us to remember that there is hope and there is light at the end of the tunnel. So you mentioned events. Are there any events that you're part of that you're working in to speak about these topics?
Yes, sure. Before of that, I would like to say that the SDGs as a framework for measuring positive impact is something that we can use today. So the SDGs are not necessarily a way of working on a future outcome, mm-hmm. but they can be integrated in our activities as an individual or as an organization today. And that adds that layer of simplicity. And actually, the results are immediate. Therefore, our level of satisfaction every day increases. I wanted to say that because the majority of us think of implementing new or technologies or knowledge or wisdom to achieve something in the future. But I think that what I learned from co-working is that it's not so much about the future, but it's about what can you do today to enjoy of your life and to increase your quality of life right away, right?
Great.
So answering your question about events, I'm very happy to see that the Rural Co-working Project is bringing results, right? Somehow it started to make noise. in Europe, and I was invited to participate at an important event. It's called the Rural Design Days 2022, and this is organized by a very relevant organization. And I feel just so proud because a year ago, I would never get in contact with such a kind of organizations. They would not know anything about me. I was just a person on the back of a small rural co-working space. But now that the rural co-working project became public, right? Mm-hmm. It looks like the visibility on the topic is increasing. So I got invited to speak about my experience with setting up the co-working space in Slovenia and how I made to make it self-sustaining, right? So that's super exciting to me. I would really love that the model that we developed in Slovenia would be replicated everywhere. And I didn't know, but that qualifies as designing. So this event is about rural design, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that what I was doing has something to do with rural design. I'm pretty happy with this.
Great. And when is that design? When is the event?
Oh, the event is, let me see, I'm not 100% sure. It is on Saturday, 12th of March. And there's a second day on March 13th.
Okay, excellent. Yeah,
the organization that is running this is Silicon Vilstel.
Great. Well, thank you for joining me today, Jose. It's been a pleasure. Also a high five to everyone who's listening. And where can anyone reach you if they want to continue the conversation or ask you any questions about development goals, events, rural co-working?
So a way to get in contact with me is going to ruralcoworking.org. Okay. I'm also available everywhere in social media, in Twitter, etc. I used to check my LinkedIn profile all the time. So if someone wants to send me a message or connect, I'm very happy. I'd love to talk about the experience in Aurora Coworking, in the Rural Coworking project. I also started a cooperative in Slovenia for coworking. It's called Aurora Coworking Network. So if anyone is interested to talk about cooperatives, I'm very happy to do so. And and everybody that is interested on the event, they can go to siliconvilstel.de, and there they will get a link to the event so that they can participate and join. So yeah, I think that's it.
Great, amazing. So, and your full name for the people who want to search you on LinkedIn, as you said, or Twitter, what is the name they should?
Yes, my name is Jose Antonio Morales.
Okay, great, fantastic.
So well, if I give you my whole name, we will need another session.
Yeah, I know. So thank you very much, Jose. I've been Alex Ahom. This is the European Coworking Assembly podcast. You can reach me at alexahom.com or Alex Ahom on LinkedIn. I'm also on most social media platforms these days. So until we hear each other again, thank you very much, everyone, and see you soon.